Hello, and welcome to Trails Podcast, our show about all things Salesforce. Trails Podcast is brought to you by Hoote, Salesforce DevOps platform for game-based development. Learn more about Hoote by going to our website, hoote.io.
Help us welcome today's guest, founder of ProvenWorks, Joel Mansvid.
Hi, Joel. We met at AppExchange Live in Amsterdam last year. And learning the story behind your venture, ProvenWorks, truly captivated me. So I'm thrilled to have you on the podcast today. Thank you very much for making the time.
Thanks, Harold. Yeah, great to be here.
Great. So to kick things off, I'd like to ask you to share with us your journey with Salesforce, how it began. You have many years in the ecosystem, so curious to hear about the beginnings.
Yeah, so my Salesforce journey began with Microsoft CRM. And I'd just finished my first Microsoft CRM implementation, which I really enjoyed. And then I was looking for other opportunities. In particular, I could see how Microsoft CRM could be extended, made more valuable for users. So set about looking for other opportunities, went on my own. And then the 2008 financial crisis hit, which kind of made me change my plans a bit, unfortunately. And just to kind of survive, I found a contract role for a company called Commvault doing SharePoint and SQL, which was, you know, something I'd learned as part of the previous CRM work. One thing led to another, and I started seeing that they were doing a lot of their sales forecasting, reporting in Excel. So lots of people emailing Excel reports around big delays, all of those kind of things. And I offered to automate them in SQL. But the actual underlying data was Salesforce data. And the more I automated, the more I did the reports, the more the management asked for changes. One thing led to another, and I found myself making changes to Salesforce, becoming a Salesforce admin, adding fields, changing things. And that ticked over for a little bit. And then end of financial year comes around and it's time for territory planning. And to do territories, you have to have good addresses. And I realized that the address data wasn't very good, needed to tidy it up. And that's effectively what turned into our first product and still our main product today, which is Address Tools.
Right. So yeah, I think it's a very common pattern for ISV founders, which I've heard multiple times to, and I even can relate to it personally, to experience a pain point hands-on and then go for solving it, which yeah, Salesforce platform technology makes comparably easy, I would say, compared to building software on the green field. So did then basically the company you were working for become your first customer, or did you start with a free version on AppExchange?
Yeah, so actually, without getting into the actual mechanics about who was doing what, yes, the offering that solved the problem at Commvault was developed on the side and became a free product. It was a free product for quite a while, actually, before we got to a paid product. And then as you start to get customers, you know, we added features and yeah, that's how it came about.
Great. And meanwhile, looking for ProvenWorks on AppExchange reveals a couple of hits. Did the story continue in the same way? So at a later state, you ran into a problem of, let's say, running data imports. And then so again, you decided to go for it and solve the problem with your own package.
That's exactly it. I've always been very blessed to be near users. And when you're actually with users and you can see the pain points or and jump to a solution, I think it's just as you were saying before, it's a perfect way to come up with a product, right? And you can see, you know, has it solved that problem? And that's exactly where Simple Import came from. The premise that you shouldn't have to go to an administrator to actually import the file, right? There are people within the company that you can delegate that to. Salesforce has always prided itself on empowering users. You don't need an IT department for this. And just building on that, to enable like administrative staff or operation staff to do some tasks that otherwise you would go to a Salesforce admin for.
Yeah. So can we expect more ProvenWorks apps to see the light of the day? Do you have other ideas in mind? Will you continue basically building this suite of tools? And actually, one thing I didn't look into, are you bundling them or are these all individual offerings?
So on the first bit, yes, I still unfortunately have a lot more ideas than I have time in the day. And certainly there are a couple of completely new applications that I would love to give, you know, a lot more attention to getting off the ground. Hopefully in the coming months, I'll work out a way to make some of those ideas happen. Bundling, we do. We have customers who have multiple products. It's very common. For example, I mentioned just as we started about territory planning and the need for good addresses. It's also the case, as I'm sure you'll appreciate, that in many organizations, they're industry focused. Like maybe in the United Kingdom, they're industry focused, but in Germany, they're geographically focused. So that's the industry complete product quite often. Goes with our addressing product when somebody's trying to solve a sales territory problem. So we quite often see products being sold in combination depending on the use case. Or likewise, we talked about, you mentioned like simple import. The addresses within that import file may not be good. So again, it's not just importing it to Salesforce, it's then making sure that those are good verified addresses. So the products do actually fit together quite well. But with regards to bundle, that's something during our discovery phase, like as we learn what the customer's doing, that's kind of where we help the customer work out how they fit together.
Don't miss the following Trails podcast episodes and articles. Subscribe to our newsletter at futa.io/trails.
So a more personal question, having spent the last more than 15 years, I think, in a double role, being in a challenging position in a multinational corporation and being a founder, entrepreneur, building out your business, your company. As I mentioned at the beginning, we even met at an event where you had been basically on site at your booth. So how do you juggle these two roles? And yeah, how do you manage maintaining a balance between those?
First of all, it's really hard. It is really, really, really hard. But I think whenever something's hard, it's also very rewarding. So the achievement is a lot more rewarding when what you've had to do to get there is hard. The other thing that's really, really, really helps is that I genuinely enjoy what I do. It does feel like a hobby. And I'm really lucky to be able to do that and get paid to do that. There are also, although it might not be obvious, at least as an outsider, there's a lot of similarities between the two. So obviously to be a company founder and to CEO and everything that entails, you by definition have to be entrepreneurial. But people often don't really think about how you can be entrepreneurial in an enterprise environment. And what that means to me is looking for opportunities to make things better. So I've always found in my time at Commvault that my initiative has been appreciated all the way down from the, as we were talking about simple import before, from individual operations and administrative staff all the way up to the C-suite. So I have managed to find, or rather, the senior executives have spent time with me. And that means that I can have a conversation, understand what are their goals, what are the decisions they're trying to make, what information, what data do they need to make those decisions, what do they want to change in the business, and understanding what the most senior people want, whilst also understanding what the users on the ground, whether those are individual sales reps, call center staff, support staff, whoever it may be, has allowed me to join the dots and also to think ahead, right? To be a good entrepreneur, you have to think ahead, right? So where are we going, not just where we are today? So that's in my enterprise architect role. That's how I see it. On the proven work side, we're now at a point, you mentioned how long I've been doing this for. We're now at the point where we have thousands of customers where we've had feedback, mostly through customer support. Actually, as a very slight tangent, even for our free customers from the very beginning, we've always offered proper actual customer support. And that was very deliberate because unless you speak to customers, you can't get feedback. It's an ideal time to understand their pains. You know, how are they trying to use the product and use that to guide new products and features? So doing something different on support has enabled us to get more feedback. And then just lastly, just back to how that translates to Commvault, I also encourage my peers and the people that I work with to not just take requirements, not just ask, what do you need, but to spend time with users and look at what they do. If you can, go and sit next to an inside salesperson. Look at how often they're navigating through the records. Don't wait for them to come to you to say, that page layout isn't what I need, right? Be proactive. Be proactive. It really, really matters. And then even for the development staff who maybe don't have the luxury of being near users to do that, I encourage them to look at log data. So don't wait for a user to report a problem. Look through any logs. If you don't have logs, why not? Make sure you are logging errors where we can look. And similarly, things like telemetry data, right? How are users interacting with what you do? I think with regards to kind of balance between all of it, there's also like a personal aspect. Certainly, if I go back a few years when my children were a lot younger, it was very, very challenging. The two roles, I was still doing as I do today, but with two younger children. So lots of school drop-offs, school pickups, cooking, ironing. I hate ironing. Ironing school shirts. And for anybody who's listening to this, for people like single parents, I just want to say that it gets easier. Life does get easier.
Yeah, I can second that as a father of a now 14-year-old daughter. To that, actually, it became easier again.
Yes, yeah, it just gets easier and easier. Yeah, for sure. Both of mine are at university now. So it gets maybe not cheaper, definitely not cheaper, but definitely easier.
Got it. So one more question I have is how involved, how hands-on are you still in the ProvenWorks products? Would you still consider yourself the, let's say, chief product officer? Are you still the one driving requirements or informing or basically shaping the roadmap? Or did you hand that off now having a team at ProvenWorks?
It's something in between. So certainly, I encourage, as kind of we were talking about before, my support staff, my sales staff, pre-sales staff, customer success, definitely the amount of feedback, we encourage feedback, you know, via those people. They are in front of customers a lot more than I am, unsurprisingly. With regards to product architecture, I probably shouldn't admit to it. I still do a lot of SQL development work. So lots of the data analysis reporting. I am still hands-on keyboard technical for sure. And also when we're doing like the product architecture, weighing up different ways to design it, our back-end systems, as well as the actual packages themselves, I play an active part in those. And I probably should hand those things off. But honestly, Harold, I enjoy it too much. So, yeah.
Product founder DNA.
Yes, yes.
Right. And so in your role at Commvault, are you also heavily working with Salesforce technology still? Or did your role pivot away from Salesforce?
It did. It got a lot broader. which is very interesting, actually. It's very interesting to be a part of a Microsoft Dynamics implementation. I actually found myself back involved with, it's a different use case, but back involved with day-to-day with Microsoft Dynamics, as it's now called, after over 10 years being away from it and drawing those parallels. But it definitely is true to say that my depth of knowledge on Salesforce personally is you know, that's my specialism. So I spend more time now than anywhere else. But other enterprise systems, things like Workday and NetSuite, you know, the other big players, I still get involved with almost daily.
Great. So as a wrap-up question, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on the Salesforce ecosystem. So basically, both, of course, the ISV partner ecosystem, AppExchange, but in general, also broader picture, is there anything that excites you specifically? Maybe any thoughts on the recent investments on AI, not surprisingly, that Salesforce took, or any other aspect of Salesforce technology or strategy that you are specifically excited about or where you see specific opportunities coming up?
Mm. So the Salesforce ecosystem specifically, as we mentioned before, like I think I'm 15 years in. And if I think back to those days, first of all, there weren't very many people listening on the AppExchange 15 years ago. But the kinds of people that were people more like myself, tech enthusiasts. Now, the people who are kind of coming in and who are interested in AppExchange, I see more and more investors. It's financially interesting now, as well as technologically interesting. So those investors coming in has led to a lot of M&A activity. That means there's lots of transactions going through, consolidation, which in turn means that the landscape of the partners is changing. So I think we're starting to see, I think it's still very, very early, but we're starting to see clusters of partners or ISV partners. So it'll be interesting to see how those integrate and also how Salesforce reacts to them. So for example, for ISVs like ProvenWorks, we're a scale-up partner, right? And the margins that we pay Salesforce, PNR, we're in the hundreds of thousands of dollars per year. But we're not big enough to get go-to-market assistance from Salesforce. You have to be in the million plus to really get Salesforce's attention. So we have to come up with our own strategies, look for our own opportunities, and we don't really get to ask for help. And we're a well-established ISV, relatively well-staffed. And I honestly think about the gulf between these million-dollar plus PNR, and so the million-dollar plus they're giving to Salesforce, us somewhere over here, and we're not there. And then you've got the startups, right? The guys coming into this space who are starting on zero PNR is going to, you know, really, really, really tough. So be interesting to see how those investors, how far down those investors go down the chain and how the landscape changes as a result of that.
Great. So thank you very much for spending the past half hour with us. Really enjoyed the conversation. Very inspiring. Thank you very much and looking forward to seeing you again at one or the other Salesforce event.
You're going to Trailhead DX, right? Did I say?
I will, yes. Are you?
Yes. I signed up yesterday. So
excellent.
I look forward to seeing you there. And if anyone else listening is also attending, please reach out to me on LinkedIn. It'd be great to meet up with people.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Joel. Here in San Francisco.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Trails Podcast is brought to you by Hoota, Salesforce DevOps platform for Git-based development. You can learn more about Hoota by going to our website, hoota.io.